Welcome to Ballistic Radio. Join us as we discuss hard-won self-defense lessons, as well as the information you need to survive a violent encounter. Listen as armed professionals, industry experts, national champions, and gunfight survivors answer all your firearms and self-defense questions while exploring your rights and responsibilities as an armed citizen. Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Surefire, the professional's choice for suppressors and illumination tools. Surefire, America's beacon of freedom. And now, here's your host, John Johnston.
Welcome to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Surefire, the professional's choice for suppressors and illumination tools. Surefire, America's beacon of freedom. I'm your host, John Johnston. Remember, you can always listen to past shows at ballisticradio.com and get the latest behind-the-scenes info, arguments, photos, videos, other stuff at facebook.com/ballisticradio. It's funny, I'm messing up my own, like, name, and also apparently I can't say .com, but I can't say .com. Anyway, Joe's just like, yup. Yep, coasting with me is me. Hey, guess what, me? I don't know, me? What? This segment brought to you by Lucky Gunner and Federal Premium Ammunition. That was so lame. Whether there is a firefight or you do, in fact, want to worry about that little guy, you need more ammo. And when it's time to restock, you can't beat Federal Premium Ammunition at LuckyGunner.com. With a shipping department that's always moving at 88 miles per hour, if I order a case of American Eagle from Lucky Gunner on a Thursday, it's at my doorstep ready to shoot before the weekend starts. Head to LuckyGunner.com today to check out their in-stock lineup of Federal Premium Ammunition. Remember, unless you're on fire or drowning or doing farmer's carries or, I don't know, falling from a... What was that? A leper? Huh. With, like your arm would come out of your socket? Yeah, that, a zombie? You can never really have too much ammo? Something like that? I don't know. Something weight-related? Anyway. Hey, guess what? Steve Fisher's on. Hey, Steve. How's it going?
Good, John. How you doing, man?
Oh, I'm living the dream, brother. So, which is funny because anytime we talk to each other, pretty much anytime I talk to any other industry person, the answer is invariably some form of living the dream. And what I actually hear is I'm not sleeping enough and I'm overworked and I really wish I had stayed in school.
You know? That is 100% correct. This is one of those topics that I get a lot when people go like, or, you know, we see in the internet, some of the other groups we're in and stuff like that. They're like, hey, I want to be a firearms instructor. I'm like, hey, go back to school.
Yeah. Get a real job. Right. So
be something important, be something that matters, do something that's going to pay you and give you a retirement and health insurance.
Yep. Yep. So,
yeah,
well,
absolutely.
For those that don't know, aside from bitter and angry, who are you and what do you do?
Oh, bitter and angry, like my coffee.
Mm.
Steve Fisher, owner, primary chief operating ninja of Sentinel Concepts. I've been in the firearms industry for about 20 years. Consulting, training, traveling, teaching, making people angry, and telling them their products are stupid. Had some, you know, had a good prior career history as well. And, man, this is where we're at. You know, we're just trying to make the best of what we have right now within the industry.
Yeah. So, huh. What's funny is I lined this up yesterday, and it was, what are we going to talk about? And I go, I don't know. But here's something I'm kind of interested in, and that is sort of, I guess, this idea that there's only one answer, like, because a lot of people seem to fall in the camps really super easy. I don't remember if we've talked about this or not, but if we have, no one else will remember, so whatever. But it's kind of interesting because you and I consider you a pretty good friend and we talk a lot.
Absolutely.
And what's interesting is that oftentimes online, you know, things become very polarized, but then you and I talk and we disagree all the time and it's like no big deal. So where do you think people get hung up or why do people get hung up and you know, what's up with that?
I think a lot of it is because they really haven't, that's what I'm really looking for. They haven't really bridged certain subjects. A lot of people will feel that, well, this is the only way I've ever known.
Yeah.
or this is the only way I've ever taught via, you know, that first instructor love. And this guy was the best, or this gal was the best, and this was, you know, this is the way they showed me to do it, and it works for me.
Yeah.
But it works for you flat range. It works for you one dynamic of being there, you know, let's just call it stationary in front of a target, you know.
Yeah.
And my over-the-top slide, stop, slide, release thing, whatever it is you choose, let's just call it whatever, or prepping the trigger, pinning the trigger, slapping the trigger, whatever, I don't care.
Yeah.
But it's the only way they've ever really known, or it's the only thing they're actually good at, and they're not willing to put the time into discovering other applications or ways.
Well, and it seems like, too, that, and this is something that I don't know if it'll be published yet or not, but I'm starting a thing with Shooting Illustrated and going to be talking about how different people actually are and how that probably matters more than... Like, in some regards, it matters a ton, and then in other regards, it doesn't matter even a little bit. So, like, sights and triggers are sights and triggers, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But someone's environment and, you know, resource allocation, for lack of a better term, really, really can matter. And then I guess at the end of the day, and this is something that a lot of trainers don't like to talk about, if you're looking at typical incidents... You don't have to be super, super awesome. You just have to be passingly competent.
Yes.
So what do you think about that?
I think that's very real. You look at, you know, self-defense shootings that occur, almost daily basis.
Right.
And, you know, hey, the 65-year-old, you know, grandmother of 18, you know, or whatever, that has never had a formal firearms training class in her life, whips a blaster out, gets it on, and does the job.
Yep.
Either successfully or unsuccessfully, which still ends up being successful. But still, it's considered a win in the category.
Right.
You know, that's one of those things. There's a point in time, I guess, of how far do you take your competency? You know, how good do you have to be? What is your sustainment level of that competency? And there you have it, you know. And I'm never going to need this gun, like I'm never going to need my seatbelt.
Right.
I think that kind of mentality is still there, which is... Which, hey, that's very real for a lot of people that do not have access, resources, or even the time to do that. Or they just don't know what they don't know because they've never been exposed to this culture.
Well, and so let me ask you this. And so there are two separate things we can talk about, right? And one of them would be the frequency of negative outcomes. For instance, you and your not you, but like the listener, you and your father get into a shooting over a mattress in a dumpster in an alley, right?
Yeah,
that's pretty negative. Or some dude pushes you down in a parking lot and you cap him in the chest, and you still haven't posted bail because you're in jail. That's pretty negative.
Mm-hmm.
A separate thing. That's one of Claude Werner's negative outcomes, and we can talk about that in a little bit. But when we talk about the wins column, especially the wins from untrained, really, I would almost argue inept individuals, what's pretty universal about it is they were decisive. They were decisive, and they, you know— They may have really sucked. I mean, like, actually, like, you or I would look at it and go, oh, man. But they did it ferociously and with overwhelming violence. And I think that's something that not enough people give credit to and maybe is not discussed enough. But, like, I'm, you know, we got to go to break in, like, a minute or so, and we'll pick up on that. But what do you think about that?
Oh, I think there's something to be said for lack of skill made up by pure grit and determination.
Yeah. And the thing about that, though, is, and this is probably problematic as well, is a lot of people will use that as an excuse to not train, but they don't have that in them. And they've never put themselves in a situation to figure that out or not, which I guess is a separate problem that we can discuss. But We're talking with Steve Fisher from Sentinel Concepts. And you're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Surefire, the professional choice for suppressors and illumination tools. Surefire, America's beacon of freedom. This segment brought to you by Wilson Combat. Wilson Combat, makers of the finest custom 1911s and scatter guns since 1977. Legacy of quality, innovation, and service. Learn more about their firearms and accessories, as well as the EDC X9, which offers discriminating shooters 1911 match-grade accuracy, superior ergonomics, and concealability with modern service pistol capacity and reliability at www.wilsoncombat.com. So I love when I'm reading the ads and I look up and Joe's eyebrows are just raised like, like I heard that, bro, but whatevs, you know, he's just looking at me. So we're talking with Steve Fisher, no C, because there's another Steve Fisher around and he occasionally puts videos out and I'm like, what? So anyway, we're not going to go there. So, overwhelming violence and that as a tactic. I'm reminded of there was a shooting, I want to say in Gwinnett County down in Georgia, where it was a restaurant owner, Asian female restaurant owner, and it's on video. And three dudes like kicked down her door, come in, and she straight up murders one of them, and not murders in the legal sense, but overwhelmingly dominates the encounter. And she's rocking a high point one-handed with the worst recoil control I've ever seen. But she closes with and engages three dudes. I want to say one of them even had a long gun and you know, kills one of them. He drops dead in the driveway and chases the other two off. That's a win, you know. So how do we get people to incorporate that with also skill?
See, that's the hard part.
Mm-hmm.
I think that really is the hard part. You know, getting someone to a skill set level of proficiency is relatively easy with the right program. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of good instructors out there, a lot of good teachers out there that can teach you these proficiency levels, especially with the equipment that you have.
Mm-hmm.
The hard part is getting people to flip that switch. You become very decisive, very aggressive, very dominating. And often I think, you know, seeing some of these things, having been in court, having done other things like this, most of the people that I've ever talked to or seen that I've been able to get backstories on, it's always been from a surprise. It's always been from a surprise reaction, I should say, where like, uh-oh, there's really no time to think about it, and it's instinct that takes over immediately, self-preservation, survival, and they become an entirely different beast immediately.
Hmm.
And there isn't this preemptive, you know, like, oh, here comes three dudes with a gun right now, and okay, I should get this, and that's a different mentality altogether as a whole, say you, I, somebody else with a lot more experience, training, life experiences, whatever the case is, where we start to preemptively see these things happening and we start to take those actions way ahead of the power curve and we start to game it immediately.
Right.
Where a lot of this, I think, becomes, you know, take for instance that restaurant owner or this business owner. It's like, I turn around, there's dudes with a gun, my gun's on me, or whatever it is at that point in case. And it becomes just a reactive, animalistic instinct to survive and protect themselves and others.
I wonder how much of that, too, is how much thought has been given to it beforehand. Because like you said, you know, and I've even we're not going to tell this story, but like I've been there, you know, when stuff was maybe going to happen. And, you know, you and I both were advantaging quite a bit on the people that it was maybe going to happen to. So, wow, I'd forgotten about that, and now I'm remembering, and that was interesting. But, you know, whereas a lot of people, it's like, oh, I'm in this now. And it's kind of like, I wonder how much of that is they've accepted it beforehand or have not accepted it beforehand. And I wonder how much of it, too, is just temperament. Like, you can't, you know, I can't make somebody flip that switch. I can't even equip them to do it necessarily because some people just don't have that switch.
I think it's been bred, honestly. And by bred, I mean the past, you know, call it 10 years. I'm just going to use the past decade of correctness.
Yeah.
But, you know, coming from another place that, you know, I saw this mentality, this switch based on upbringing and the environment of the upbringing and the area just outside of the immediate home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the initial, you know, you can't take the hood out of the hood rack kind of thing. You cannot, you know, individuals that grew up or lived in, you know, depressed areas or violent areas, you know, that were kind of like the last stronghold areas in the center of the block kind of thing.
Right.
Have a certain trigger that can flip immediately at, you know, before the coin even hits the floor. And you also see that a lot with mothers. You know, regardless of the upbringing, regardless of the area. But I think a lot of it really is dependent on, I won't say the upbringing, but the environment of which they lived in.
Yeah.
Or still do.
Well, and I wonder about that too, because you know, I think it's been conditioned out of a lot of people. I think conditioned was maybe a better word than bred, because it's,
yeah.
Especially these days, we're living in a world where other people are expected to do the dirty work, whether that's killing the food or butchering the food, or, you know, we live in a society that's customer service industry based, and we've customer serviced industry violence, even to the point where it's like, I'm going to call someone else to do my violence for me, which is kind of interesting, you know? So,
yeah.
And maybe that's it. Maybe it's the expectation of I pay someone for this. This is why I pay my taxes. So I don't have to do that. Whereas other people are fully accepting of the fact. It's like, no, customer service needs applied right now. I guess I'm in customer service today. Right.
True.
So anyway, I don't know. I
think it's just it's one of those things we'll never find an answer to.
Yeah.
No matter how many people you talk to, no matter how many people have been involved in this, you know, they're just, you know, their whole response usually turns into, it just happened. You know, next thing I know, there I was, and I just reacted to it, and it was kind of this experience of overwhelming calm that fell over me at this point in time, or it was an overwhelming emotion of anger, you know, or determination that came over me to be like, this is not happening to me. And, you know, the funny thing is for years, you know, Masai Ube talked about this, you know, with his whole fight or flight reflex stuff and responses. I mean, this has been going on since day one of man. And I don't think we're ever going to get a truly definitive answer out of it.
Yeah. And that's kind of the thing. And that's actually something we can talk about in the next statement segment, because like, so many people confuse like a reflex versus a response versus a reaction. And I've got very strong opinions about that I would like to share and then have you tell me I'm either dumb or you think that's awesome. But we'll find out. Anyway, we're talking with the Yeti. You're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Surefire, the professional's choice for suppressors and illumination tools. Surefire, America's beacon of freedom. This segment also brought to you by Surefire. Know your target and what is beyond it. But how can you really know your target? By shining a really bright light on it, and that's where Surefire comes in. From the new 1200 lumen EDCL 2T handheld or 500 lumen EDCL 1T handheld, to the upgraded fits in all your old holsters, 1000 lumen X300 Ultra, or the brand spanking new Stiletto flat, rechargeable pocket light. Surefire can make sure you never have to yell as "Ease light" ever again. Surefire, the professional's choice for suppressors and illumination tools. Have you gotten your hands on one of the stilettos yet, Steve?
I have not, actually. I've got a Guardian, which I like.
Mm-hmm.
The Guardian for me is actually like a really cool light. I dig that one a lot, and I think I like the stiletto more. I need to get on that bandwagon and order a couple in, actually, for Christmas gifts. Looking at it, you know, from what I've seen online and comparing it to the Guardian, I think I'm going to get some of those for, like, you know, my family, you know, like my sister, brother, his wife, stuff like that. You know, I think it's a great vehicle light that would transfer over to a really good, you know, pocket kind of light, carry light deal. So
yeah,
I'm going to get a couple of those this year for Christmas gifts.
I'm super. So, you know, if people have been paying attention, I worked on the DCL series, the 2 and the 1. Those are cool lights. I like them quite a bit. I have found that the stiletto I am more likely to carry more often just because it is so convenient. And it is a super cool light for that. But before the break, we were sort of talking about temperament and stuff like that, and then reactions and responses and things like that. And what a lot of people my understanding of the whole reaction versus response thing is reaction is something that is done without necessarily conscious thought and can either be contextually appropriate or not. And it's something that you are doing. So reaction, reflex, same thing. Whereas a response is something that you have pre-considered and are choosing to employ. And hopefully or ideally you're choosing to employ something that you are skilled at as well. And it seems like a lot of people sort of, they stay in the I'm reacting to things versus you really, in my mind, want to be responding to things. And that sort of dovetails into your concept of sooner, not faster. To where, like, your response is kind of you start advantaging as soon as you see things developing. Well, I mean, what do you think?
No, I agree. I don't really think there's a whole lot to add to that. I mean, honestly, it's such a hard thing that we can take for granted.
Mm-hmm.
While, you know, we're definitely not perfect at this.
No.
You know, absolutely. But there's definitely a leg up on some others. And definitely we're not at the level of some others that are way above us in this.
Right, right.
And, you know, I just don't want people thinking we're being all egotistical about this. Oh, they're better than me. Well, no, not necessarily. And man, it's hard because of that conditioning. You know, it's we've either worked jobs that have had violent outcomes. We've either, you know, been in places that have had this. We've trained a mental level for it where it's just not where the normal person would think. And I say normal because face facts, we're not normal.
No.
And it's not what the average person thinks about daily. It's just not, you know, where we think about it, because I think more or less it's our job. And we have to think about that preparation of violence and those reactions and, you know, preemptive stuff. I mean, again, it's just such a rabbit hole. You know, I mean, you could go down this 20 different ways and get, you know, 50 different answers.
Well, and that's kind of the thing, I guess, that. And not thinking about this all the time would actually be super awesome, and I wish I could do that. But it's sort of one of those things that once you take the – which one was it, the red pill or the blue pill? The one that you bounced out of the matrix and all of a sudden you're dancing the crappy techno music in shoddily manufactured clothes. I can't remember. But you take the wrong pill – and then all of a sudden, this is just what I see now. Awesome. Cool.
This is just where I'm at.
Yeah. And not to say that's good or bad, but I think a lot of I know I have done it in the past. I think I've seen you do it in the past, too. But it's super easy to forget that for most people, this is, even if they're interested in it, this is not, it's not their job.
Correct.
So How do we get other instructors or teachers or whatever you want to call it? How do we get people on board with, you know, you're trying to help people, but you also need to understand where they're coming from too.
You know, as what I would consider a lot of people to be like professional hobbyists, then you have that other end of the spectrum that are just hobbyists, and you know, it's fun for them, it's whatever, and it's great, and it is fun. Getting people to get to this is always hard because A, it costs money, B, it's time, C, it's not the thing they're overly interested in. You know, they've got a box full of tools, and that's great, and you know, once in a while something comes out, and then they consider themselves to be a carpenter.
Yeah.
And that's really not the case. And, I mean, you know it. We've all done it. We've all tried it. I mean, everything from, hey, we're going to offer this, you know, free, you know, these free courses to, you know, the soccer moms or the church group or even the LE community.
Yeah.
You know how that goes. That's like pulling teeth.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a little.
You know what I'm saying? It's like you can put it in their face. You can give them free ammo. You can give them free everything, and they're still not going to be there, or they're going to be there, and they're going to wonder when it ends, what time do we have to be there, how long is the lunch break?
Yeah,
it's just a different mentality, honestly, for a lot of people who actually pay to be there and those that want to be there that can't be there.
Well, so I got a really good example of that. So I'm teaching that one-day class now, the technical handgun class, right? And
okay.
that's been pretty popular, but it's cool. It's a 10-hour one-day class. That's a pretty long day. How long is lunch on my 10-hour class? About 20 or 25 minutes. That's it.
Yep.
And no one has complained. No one said a word. Whereas I know for a fact, if I were doing an agency class, the first question out of someone's mouth before we ever got through the safety brief would be, what time is lunch? And if you did a 20 or 25 minute lunch on an 8-hour day for an agency, somebody would lose it. Just like, no, we get it. You know what I mean? And,
yeah.
And I mean, I know it's like, why are you talking about the length of a lunch break? But it's like, that's actually really illustrative in my mind of the motivation of some people, you know? Or the different motivations, and how that's, I mean, is that kind of what you've seen?
Yes.
So I'm trying to give you a question to expand on, Steve. You're killing me.
I'm just, you know, the thing is, too, dude, it's like, we beat it to death so many times, even in personal terms, like, where does it go? You know, how do we get it? I just. And I'm sitting here thinking about it going, God, now I want to do this again, or I want to do that again. And it's like, it's not going to work.
Yeah. Yeah.
I you know, you beat your head against the wall at some point to the diminishing returns.
Well, so, you know, I don't know what the answer is. But as far as, I guess for people that are getting into this, we got about 2.5 minutes left in this segment. When I say getting into this, I mean, if they're listening to the show, they're probably already in this. And if this is their first introduction to a conversation about applied violence or whatever the term du jour is these days, they're going to be like, why do these guys sound so tired? And it's like, well, because we are.
Yeah.
You know, how – and I – that's the other thing. I've been doing this – I think I'm going to be coming up on my 7th year in a couple months. The fact you've been doing it for 20, it's like, oh, I understand why Steve's on mad on the internet now. Like, I get it. It's like, I mean, it's funny because the people will occasionally ask me because they know we're buddies. They're like, "Is what? Tell me about Steve." And I'm like, "He's tired. That's all. He's just tired. He's really a sweet guy somewhere deep down."
Absolutely, somewhere down deep in this. You know what it really comes down to?
Yeah.
Disappointment because of caring and understanding that, hey, I care. I want you to be better. I don't do this for me. I do this. I already know how to do this.
Yeah.
I want to pass this information along to others and hopefully help them sustain, survive, prevail, whatever you want to call it this week.
Well, and we got to go to break, too. And the other thing, too, is like you already know how to do this. You're also like 6'6" and 300 pounds. So it's not it's like. Yeah, you're not doing it for you. We're talking with Steve Fisher. You're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Surefire, the professional choice for suppressors and illumination tools. Surefire, America's beacon of freedom. This segment brought to you by BigTexOutdoors.com. BigTexOutdoors.com is the best place for you to find all your everyday carry needs at the absolute best prices. Maybe you need all the lumens from Surefire at the lowest price? No problem. Spend too much time alone in your room and now you need an RMR? Well, BigTexOutdoors.com has those. Glock accessories? Yes! Fast, cheap shipping, 100% hassle-free returns, all that and more. And best of all, BigTexOutdoors.com has Ike. He's a good man and thorough. I like Ike. Everybody likes Ike, and you'll like Ike, too. Visit BigTexOutdoors.com today and find out what happens when every customer is a friend, not just an order. So we're talking with Steve Fisher, and you're kind of saying the motivation for you is just you actually super care what happens to people, which is not what most people think, I would guess, when they consider you as a human being. But that's been my experience, too, because, like, you've always been not necessarily publicly, but at least privately, very supportive and, like, someone that I talk to and stuff like that. You know, so what – I mean, what does that translate to, though? How do you take it from, okay, I care about what happens to you. Can you try caring about what happens to you? Like, how do you make that light bulb go on for folks?
I think sometimes it's easy for them to get that once they realize somebody else cares.
Right.
But somebody else really means that they're trying for their better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want that mom, that dad, that brother, sister, uncle, aunt, cousin, niece, whatever, to be able to come home. I want them to be able to endure the court trials. I want them to be able to do that instead of somebody else burying them.
Right.
You know, I would rather have them, you know, spend $20,000, $30,000 of their life instead of their family spending $5,000 to $10,000 putting them in the ground.
Right.
There's just no ifs, ands, or buts about that. You know, we've all done the free courses. We've all done all this other stuff. This kind of all of it. You know, I have never turned down a person who has come to me and said, "Hey, dude, I really can't afford this right now," or whatever. Blah 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 blah. But hey, yeah, cool, dude. Sometime in the next 2-3 years, you know, you'll pay me back, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Especially if I know them either well through the internet, you know, through some of the groups that we're in, or other individuals that vouch for them. You know, I just lost my job, whatever. Hey, cool, man. Come on. Like, you need stuff. I've got it. You need the ammo? I'll float you the ammo.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's pretty much almost irrelevant at that point, as long as they're willing, their willingness is there and their honesty and their sincerity is there.
Well, and I know who you learn. I have a strong suspicion who you learned that from, because I learned it from the same dude.
Yeah.
I mean, if we wanted, I think there's never a bad time to take a minute to talk about Pat. Pat Rogers, and you know what an incredible example he was, as far as one of the most giving of his time and attention and energy dudes I have ever met. And it's funny too, because he was, you know, there are a lot of people that considered Pat a really good friend, and that's interesting to me because I believe it. Like, I believe it because I know how he interacted with me and how much he interacted with me, and I can only assume that he interacted with other people that with the same intensity of consideration and caring. And maybe, I don't know, like, maybe that is what it takes. Maybe, you know, if you're first getting started, and actually now that I think back about it, that is what it took. When you're first getting started, just running into someone that cares that much about what happens to you, like maybe even cares about what happens to you more than you do.
Yeah, no, that's a good, honest, that's very, very spot on. I mean, Jesus, it was like 2004, you know, when I really first ran into Pat and started, you know, doing things and taking classes with him, et cetera. And yeah, you know, that was exactly it. Somewhere in that time frame, you know, he saw something in someone, and I watched it. You know, I watched it for years with Pat and becoming a very good friend with Pat and, you know, working with him and working for him and, you know, all these things. And it was amazing to see what a grumpy he was, or old man he was, to, you know, how big the heart really was underneath that.
Right.
What? You know, for that grump dude.
Well, and that's kind of the thing, too, that I wonder too how much of like any interaction with any, not just you, but like anybody, there's always this public persona. But it's kind of like you said, I would argue that most of the people, not all, but most of the people that get into this, they're not getting into it to make money. At least not, they might be getting into it to make money, but that's not going to be a thing, right?
Right, exactly.
You know,
they're
getting into it for the right reasons, or at least if they stay in it, they have to stay in it for the right reasons, because otherwise there's no longevity there. So I don't know. I don't know. Let me ask you this. As far as, I'm trying to decide if we want to stay on this or just go to something like super, super easy. Here, tell me why everyone's wrong about shotguns again. That's always a
Ooh.
Fun conversation.
Oh, why is everybody wrong about shotguns? Oh, we love shotguns. Here's the beauty of the shotgun. Everybody has one. Everybody has a shotgun. I don't care who you are. Every pretty much, gun-owning household in America probably has a shotgun somewhere in the corner. They flat-out work. Like technological advances of the 9mm.
Mm-hmm.
When you think back to the, early birth, really in its use in the, let's call it mainstream early 80s, anemic. So the 45 was the reigning god. 45 was king. Now 9mm's caught up. 45's like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm just going to go sit here in the old folks' home.
Yeah.
That's kind of how the shotgun was. But technologically, the advancement in shotgun ammunition has made it very relevant again for everyone. Technological advancements of the gun itself, such as, the Beretta 1301.
Yeah.
Which is an amazing gun. Absolutely amazing gun.
I would actually argue one of the best fighting implements ever created.
Yes. Yes. I absolutely would go for that. And with the technological advancements of shotguns, either from, adding into the years with the Vancom system being developed, to flight control ammunition, to Vang's new flight control copping system that helps enhance flight control even.
Yeah.
Technology is catching up. It's making a gun that is realistically 50 state legal fighting gun in communist occupied territories where you're going to get slathered for having an assault rifle or an evil gun of some sort. The shotgun offers lethality, like immediate lethality.
Well,
there's no doubt about 1,600 to 1,800 foot-pounds of energy and 9 to 15, pellets coming at you that are just absolutely soul-crushingly devastating.
Well, and you kind of, you touched on it, and this was interesting to me, but so we taught a class in Chicago, and I do a shotgun demo in our two-day class in ballistic gel, just because we do a terminal ballistic demo in every two-day class that we do. And it was funny, though, because afterwards people were asking me, like, I want to get trained on a shotgun. Who should I go train with? I mentioned you and some of the other shotgun guys. And they're like, yeah, we live in Chicago proper. We can't have a rifle. And I'm like, bingo, there it is. There it is. But hey, if people want to train with you, Steve, where can they find your class schedule and such?
They can find that at sentinelconcepts.com.
Mm-hmm.
They can find it there. They can find it on the Bookface. They can find me on Instagram. But sentinelconcepts.com is the main website that's got all that stuff going. There's currently a pre-2019 season sale going on, like 10% off classes. So I think that goes to like the first of the year kind of deal.
Nice.
And then the good news is I only have 5 classes left on the year, and then I'm done, and then I get to start all over again, 45 days later,
well,
right after SHOT Show.
Yeah, I got three left this year, but I'm actually
nice.
I'm super looking forward to it because they're all sold out, which is nice. Yeah, right?
Yep.
Hey, at least people are showing up. But anyway,
hey, I'll have money for Christmas presents this year. It'll be good.
Well, I mean, Eventbrite takes a while to pay me, so we'll see. But
yeah.
I'm not going to complain. But anyway, Steve,
no.
I appreciate it, man. Always a pleasure. I love you, brother. I hope you stay safe, and I'll talk to you soon. All right.
All right, bro. See you.
All right. Make sure you check out our website, ballisticradio.com, like our Facebook page at, I just wanted to make the at sound, facebook.com/ballisticradio. And hey, keep leaving those 5-star review on iTunes. Really appreciate it. It helps us out. Remember, too, we're on Spotify, and those get uploaded like the day after, sometime without a description because we haven't given it to Joe yet, but they're up soon. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, be safe and see you next week.